Welcome to the Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Trucking Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. As Avery presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading the PDF or PowerPoint of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF and PowerPoint is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads for the Trucking Market Update, as well as the weekly Rail Market Update with Todd Tronowski and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly Trucking Market Update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 101, the week of March 1st, 2021. Before we start, a reminder that you can download a PDF with graphics related to this discussion at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. You can also download a PowerPoint presentation that includes images of those same charts you can use in your own presentations. Okay, so let's get this out of the way. I didn't make a big deal of it, but last week I did suggest that the record set in spot market volume during the weekend of February 19th might stand for years. Well, in fact, it stood for 1 week. Load postings in the truckstop.com system jumped nearly 25% during the week ended February 26th, which was week eight in the year, and it set a third straight weekly record. Freight networks obviously remained quite disrupted due to the recent extreme weather and other factors that we'll touch on later in the podcast. Whatever the reason, all three segments that we cover closely in this podcast, dry van, refrigerated, and flatbed, saw volume gains and, in fact, volume records during the week ended February 26th. Dry van's growth week over week was almost as strong as it was in week seven, as load postings jumped almost 26% on top of the 34% gain in week seven. In week eight, dry van spot loadings, spot load postings were just under four times the number of postings in the same week last year. The other big reason for a continued surge is that flatbed joined the party. Flatbed spot volume had barely budged from the record it set about a month ago. But in week eight, flatbed load postings jumped nearly 32%. It's possible that while winter weather spurred demand in other segments, it resulted in pent-up demand in flatbed. Remember, a big part of flatbed's freight is construction, and extreme winter weather is certainly not conducive to construction. Flatbed volume, by the way, was only double the same week last year. As I've mentioned before, this time last year, flatbed was surging along with residential construction. Meanwhile, refrigerated spot volume growth above the prior week surge was more incremental at about 6%. Refrigerated load postings were more than double the volume in the same 2020 week, however. Although total spot load postings were stronger, the imbalance in the spot market did not quite match the previous week. That's because truck postings rebounded after the weather-impacted week seven, rising 27% and slightly outpacing volume. So the market demand index, which is the ratio of loads to trucks in the truckstop.com system, eased just slightly from the previous week's record level. However, load volume growth did outpace the gains in trucks in flatbed, and that segment's MDI did set a record. Let's wrap up the spot market discussion talking quickly about rates. The broker-posted rate per mile, excluding fuel surcharges, increased 6 cents. Rates are about 40% above the same 2020 week. Dry van rates led the way with an increase of about 17 cents. Those rates were up about 67% year over year. Refrigerated rates increased about 7 cents and were up about 64% over the same 2020 week. Flatbed rates were up 2 cents after basically no change in 4 weeks and we're about 32% higher than the same week last year. Okay, let's talk about the situation with fuel. 2 weeks ago, the national average price jumped by the most since Hurricane Harvey. As with spot volume, that milestone lasted exactly 1 week. The average price of diesel jumped 9.9 cents during the week ended March 1st. Diesel is now above $3 a gallon for the first time since late January last year. The latest price, $3.72.3 cents a gallon, is the highest since the first week of January last year. And by the way, that price, which is just 6 tenths of a cent higher than the current price, had been the highest price since June of 2019. So, by the transitive property of math, I believe I got that right, we are now less than a penny away from the highest price in close to 2 years. Meanwhile, the production of ultra-low sulfur distillate, which is the fuel stock for on-highway diesel, fell during the week into February 19th to the lowest level since 2010, and that's when the Energy Information Administration's data starts. Given issues with the power grid in Texas, we may not see production levels bounce back immediately, and that could keep upward pressure on diesel prices. Oh, and there's also the price of the raw material that goes into diesel, and that, of course, is crude oil. West Texas Intermediate is trading at more than $63 a barrel, which is the highest price since early January of 2020. So while we could see some easing back from the increases in the past couple of weeks, we shouldn't expect any return to a sustained downward trend in diesel prices. Okay, before we move on to the monthly indicators, I want to touch on two final weekly indicators. First, there's unemployment benefits. The latest week gave us the sharpest drop in seasonally adjusted first-time claims for unemployment benefits that we've had in 6 months. However, due to the widespread weather impacts, I'm going to withhold judgment on the significance of that improvement until I see another week or two of data to make sure that's not an outlier. Meanwhile, continued claims in state programs fell while continued claims in federal programs rose. As of the latest week for which we have complete data, that's the week ended February 6th, total continued claims for unemployment totaled 17.6 million. The final weekly indicator, which we don't always discuss, is mortgage rates. It's worth mentioning this week because while the rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is still under 3% and quite attractive, it has risen almost a quarter of a percentage point in just 2 weeks, which is the biggest gain in quite some time, probably before the pandemic. There's a couple of ways of looking at this. If rates keep rising, that certainly could take some steam out of the housing market. On the other hand, in the very near term, it also might create some panic to buy new homes more quickly, a fear of missing out, if you will. In any case, this is a good time to mention sales of new homes, which were up 4.3% in January and were more than 19% higher year over year. Housing metrics generally are the most improved indicators relative to the pre-pandemic period, even though they were strengthening just before the pandemic. Okay, let's talk about manufacturing. First, after easing slightly in January, the Institute for Supply Management's manufacturing index bounced back to a reading of 60.8, which is just barely above the December level. There really wasn't one big increase that drove the change, but two important ones for freight transportation were new orders, which increased to 64.8, and production, which rose to 63.2. One of the weaknesses was inventories, and we'll talk on that a little bit later. The other metric released last week related to manufacturing was orders for durable manufactured goods, which were up 3.4%, which is the largest gain since July. Year over year, durable goods orders are up 6.3%. The comparison to February of last year, which is our usual benchmark for pre-pandemic comparisons, was a 4.2% gain. January's growth was not so strong if we exclude transportation equipment, which is notoriously volatile due to swings primarily in aircraft orders. January was a big month for aircraft, relatively speaking at least, as defense orders rose about 64% and civilian orders spiked nearly 390%, even though they remain well below the pre-pandemic levels. Excluding transportation equipment, orders for durable goods were up 1.4% in January. However, they have recovered significantly more than the total durable goods figure as we relate that to the pre-pandemic level. Durable goods orders excluding transport are up 8.5% year-over-year and 8.9% from February of last year. Another subcategory of durable goods we watch closely as a proxy for business investment is core capital goods, and that's capital goods excluding defense and aircraft. The January gain of 0.5% is the weakest in 9 months of increases, but core capital goods recovery is still very strong at 9.1% year-over-year and 9.7% since February of last year. Of course, it's one thing to order a durable good, and it's another thing to actually make it. In the podcast last week, we talked about industrial production and manufacturing, which have recovered pretty much as consistently as orders have. But there are some concerns for the near term. In January, for example, the output of motor vehicles was one of only two durable goods sectors to decline. And the Federal Reserve attributed that decline, at least in part, to global shortages of semiconductors. And that leads me into what happened last week when President Biden signed an executive order directing a 100-day review of the supply chain in four areas. One is semiconductors, and the others are key industrial materials, things such as rare earth minerals, pharmaceuticals, and advanced batteries, such as those used in electric vehicles. Electric vehicles, of course, are a component of the Biden administration's push on climate change. The executive order also directed a long-term review of the industrial supply chains in six critical sectors: defense, public health and biological preparedness, information and communications technology, energy, agricultural commodities and food, and, of course, transportation. Now, will any of this lead to concrete changes? Who knows? But something Washington did recently pretty much definitely led to concrete changes. The Bureau of Economic Analysis reported that personal income jumped 10% in January, which is a monthly gain exceeded only by the one in April of last year. Now, the April surge had resulted from the CARES Act, which, of course, provided stimulus money and generous funds for unemployment and also Paycheck Protection Program money. The January surge resulted from the stimulus package at the end of December. Although the CARES Act aid was far larger than what we saw in December, it had to offset big losses in wages during April of last year because of the surge in unemployment during lockdowns. The latest package, however, came as consumer earnings are still recovering. Personal spending rose 2.4%, which is the strongest gain since June when the base was far lower. Spending was heavily focused on goods, which jumped 5.8%. We already knew that goods spending rose strongly because it's very closely correlated with retail and food service sales, which, as we discussed in the last podcast, jumped 5.3% in January. Despite the stimulus, spending on services was up just 0.7%. And that is not surprising given that January was pretty much the worst month of the pandemic in terms of cases, hospitalizations, and fatalities. With lots of money flowing into consumers, but constraints on spending, personal savings soared nearly 70%. Now, millions of families are still under distress, of course. But at the macro level, lack of consumer cash is not an issue. This increase in savings in January came on top of roughly $1.65 trillion that was added in personal savings in 2020. As we consider why the spot market surged recently, we need to consider that not only are we dealing with extreme weather, but we're also dealing with a consumer spending environment, which, while it might not have matched exactly what we saw last summer, was in fact the strongest in many months. As we look ahead, it's not just recent demand, but what that demand means for pressure on replenishment of inventories that we need to watch. On Friday, the Census Bureau reported that retail inventories declined 0.6% in January for the first decrease since April. Inventories of motor vehicles and parts took an even bigger hit, declining 1.4%. So inventories excluding automotive were down about 0.2%. However, when we match that up with sales, the impact is pretty much similar for those two categories because January retail sales outpaced sales specifically of motor vehicles and parts. So when we look at the declines in inventories combined with the sharp gain in sales, it puts the inventories to sales ratio in January at 1.22. The ratio excluding automotive was 1.1. And both of those are the lowest since September and match the leanest ever. This is particularly notable because in the last couple of months, we had seen those ratios actually start to go up and head toward normalization. And that's certainly not going to happen quickly now. Given that inventories have been rising consistently, it's possible that supply chain constraints are holding back replenishment. In retail especially, imports are a critical piece of that supply chain, and it's one we know to be challenged due to port congestion in Southern California, among other things. In January, total goods imports were up 1.1%, seasonally adjusted, and goods exports were up 1.4%. Relative to the pre-pandemic month of February last year, imports are up 2.8%, but exports are still down 2.4%. It's notable, and I think there's a trend throughout this, that a big decliner in January month over month in both exports and imports was automotive. And that probably has something to do with the supply chain disruptions hurting production. Finally, this week, with the data on international trade in goods, we now have a complete set of economic indicators for January. So as usual, in the slide deck accompanying this podcast, you will find two slides summarizing the changes in consumption and production indicators in January relative to December and relative to February of last year. You can download that deck at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Okay, let's recap. Spot market volume surpassed the prior week's extraordinarily record level. The increase in diesel prices was even larger in the latest week. Mortgage rates jumped nearly a quarter of a point in 2 weeks. Sales of new homes rose in January. The ISM manufacturing index rebounded. Durable goods orders rose sharply. The Biden administration set a review of supply chain issues. Personal income and spending jumped following stimulus. Retail inventories in January matched the leanest ever. And exports and imports were stronger in January. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, episode 101 for the week of March 1st, 2021. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we hope you will join us next week.
That's it for this week's Trucking Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF and PowerPoint of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.